Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I have got a month's worth of stuff to share with you this morning. Lord, we just thank you that everything's working here today. We had a lot of technical difficulties yesterday, and if we were like the average evangelical fish, we would blame the devil. But I don't think the devil's doing it. Maybe his minions are. Maybe his friends at YouTube or Google or one of those guys, maybe they're doing it, but it isn't the devil. We're in a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are a lot of strongholds, a lot of crazy spiritual stuff going on in America, and the deception is like something I've never seen. You know, that is one of the devil's greatest weapons, is deception. It's his greatest weapon. Deception and division. And if you could just pull back, I'm talking to my, it's starting to hit me. I'm talking to people that I love. Listen, I was defriended a couple times yesterday again on Facebook. Now, please listen, I don't care about being defriended by Facebook. They weren't my friends to begin with. That isn't even my point. My point is, these are a couple brothers who are sold out for the gospel, sold out for pro-life issues, sold out for the truth. Hey, JR, does that include me? You think I'm pretty sold out for pro-life? You think I'm pretty sold out for the Lord? You think I'm pretty sold out for truth?
Well, I guess.
I mean, I'm a little more than halfway in anyway, don't you think? And what is it that could make two brothers in the Lord divide over a vote? It's nothing but spiritual arrogance, and it could be on my part, and I tried to clear this up the other day. It's spiritual arrogance that they think, or me, hang on, I think I know better than them. That's all it comes down to. I'm more holy than you. Coach, you're a sellout. You're being disloyal to the babies. Coach, the blood of the babies is going to be on your hands. Coach, you know that you have to vote godly candidates. You know what the Bible says about voting. And so, I'm thinking, yeah, I know all that, but there are extenuating circumstances. We don't live in a perfect world, and it kind of irritates me to think you know more than me. And as I tried to share the other day, this is all about perspective. I see it one way, you see it another way. I can apply the Bible to my point of view, and you can apply the Bible to your point of view. Are we going to draw out our Bibles and get out the biggest Bible verse? Are we going to have Bible wars? Is that what it's going to be, Bible wars? I'm going to try to say over and over and over, vote your conscience. Quit trying to change mine. Stop it. And quit calling me names because I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you. And I look across the spectrum of what's going on in America. Hey, somebody help me out here. Michael, Larry, Steve.
Hey, Coach, George. Let me help you out just a little bit.
Okay, hey, let me finish the point, then you can. You stay right there, Larry, because I'm going to make this point. There are a lot of big-name people, big-name Christians that are for Trump. A lot of them. And see, people are going to say, well, you're a sellout. They're all sellouts. Okay, well, they may be all sellouts. Could it be you're wrong? Has it ever entered into your mind that you're wrong? Is it always us that's wrong? My goodness, is there no grace in the church? Why was it you called it, Larry? Spiritual arrogance. That is on both sides of the camp. Spiritual arrogance. Go ahead, Larry.
Helping you out just a hair. What does the Bible say about voting? The one place in the Bible that comes to my mind about voting is where they voted in the new apostle. And they cast lots to do that. So if you want to vote biblically, you get yourself a pair of dice and you just throw those dice and let it tell you where to vote.
Oh, Larry.
Come on, brothers.
Oh, that's true. They cast lots, didn't they? They did. Oh, so hey, JR, what do we always say, man, huh? There's no unity at all in the body. And then these are guys I go stand on the streets with. I mean, I fight shoulder to shoulder to shoulder with them, and I love them. But I don't know how many more times I can hear them call me a sellout. I just don't know how many more times I can hear it. It is amazing. Hey, listen, people email me. Hang in there, Coach. Don't let them discourage you. I appreciate the emails. I ain't discouraged, and I ain't backing up. I'm just saying, what is wrong with us? Scripture says, where there's unity, God commands the blessing. Is there unity? We know right now, before we came on the air, we were having a discussion with George, and we know right now that the left, the God haters, are doing everything they can to divide Christian women. Christian women are one of the main groups that will not vote for Donald Trump because why? He said nasty things, said dirty things. His attitude towards women. See, they have framed that in the mind of the average, not the average, of Christian women. And do you think the left really cares what Christian women think? No, they're just after the vote, see? Just after the vote. And I've said before, say it again, this isn't about any of that stuff. This is about the restoration and rescuing of Western civilization. It's about breaking up the electoral monopoly. The ruling class against the rest of us. Trump is a wrecking ball that will destroy that. If you think, folks, if you think Hillary Clinton is going to slow down the demise of the decline of Western civilization, you are drunker than I thought. And if you think that voting for a third party candidate is going to in any way slow down Hillary Clinton, I don't know what to tell. I don't even know what to say. They come out with this great platform. Seems to be a pretty good platform. And what do people say? I don't care. They sold us out before. They're going to sell us out again. Well, how come we never hear about Hillary Clinton sell them out? Hillary Clinton and Obama, they always do what say they're going to do and more. They always do what they say they're going to do and more. And JR, listen, we're not electing a king. Donald Trump is not going to be elected president, and he's king, and he gets to make all the rules, and everybody has to follow. We have a government of the people, by the people, for the people, a representative democracy, a representative republic. We elect officials to make our laws. Courts don't make laws. Presidents don't make laws. All the president does is preside. He presides over the government. The legislatures pass law. They send it to the president. He either signs it or he vetoes it. That's all he does. He doesn't do anything else. He appoints judges. Yeah, he appoints judges. But judges can't even be appointed without the consent of the Senate. So judges can't even get in there without the people's representative voting for them. The president doesn't do all that stuff. You remember when Jesus said this? Where is that? It doesn't matter. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, hey, Jesus, this boy's over there. They're casting out devils. They're using your name, and they're not even one of us. They're not even Republicans, and they're doing it. They're casting out devils. What? We got to stop that. Anybody know what Jesus replied? Huh? Somebody tell me what he said. Stephen's trying to tell me. He said, cool it, boys. For those who are not against us are for us. He didn't say, oh, well, wait a minute, let's go check and see if they go to church and let's see how they're living moral lives. Let's go check all that out. He said, no. If they're doing something to advance the kingdom, that's cool by me. So Donald Trump, say what you want to about him personally. Donald Trump comes out with, hey, if any other Republican in my lifetime had come out with the positions that Donald Trump had, people would be dancing on the top of their cars. Anybody disagree with that? We'd be dancing on the top of our cars. But see, they say, well, he's not one of us. He's not one of us. Hey, JR, he ain't one of us, right? He's not one of us. How can we vote for him? He's not one of us. He said, whoa. He said he's going to slow the religious persecution. He's going to get rid of the Johnson Amendment. He's going to get rid of these Muslims. He's going to appoint pro-life judges. Hey, Sarge, just help me out here. Is he for us or against us, you think? What would you say there?
Here's the dilemma. He's not a Republican as the old Republican establishment was, sort of from that conservative stint. The conservative movement has been overtaken by the rhinos, the Republicans in name only. Yep. And that's why they're bailing on him, because he does not fit that mold. He is the wrecking ball to take care of both the Republican and the Democratic platforms. He's going into the temple just like he did at Al Smith dinner, into the den of iniquity, and turn the tables over. And if you listen very carefully to his 15 minutes, what was the very first thing that came out of his mouth that night? Wow, this is a hell of a party. Hell of a party. Yeah. Who do you think he knew he was with?
Yeah. So the point being what? Let's say these guys, I've heard this over and over. Well, I wish I could keep up with everything that's being written over. There's a lot of good stuff. What if this guy's just a figurehead? What if he is just a figurehead and he's being controlled by the people behind the curtain? What if Hillary really is just part of the New World Order and she's getting her marching orders from George Soros and other? What if he really is? And what if Donald Trump is also just part of it? He's just playing the game, and he's getting his marching orders from George Soros. He's getting his marching orders from them as well. What if he is? Well, then I'd say we're terribly, terribly screwed. So I would say it doesn't matter then. We might as well not vote at all. But if we take what Jesus just said, they're not for us, not against us, they're for us, then we ought to consider that. Hey, JR, you think Hillary's for us? Give me a thumbs up if you think Hillary is in the Christian's corner. Somebody give me a thumbs up there. Really? Okay, give me a thumbs up if you think Trump could be. You're even allowed to do this. I'm not sure. But Trump could be. He could be. So we have one we know is not with us and one we're not sure of. What is wrong with us? I don't want to get bogged down on it, man. It's just wearing me down. Anybody got something to say before we get into some good stuff here? Boy, I got a good email from Michael Andrews. I don't have time to read it. He said, Trump is God's prosecuting attorney over here. Anybody? Before we dive into some good stuff here?
I think Larry brought up an incredible point. Because we've been chastised and told that God would have us do this and God would have us do that. Yet in practice, that wasn't condemned. Casting lots was used. It was used over 70 times in the Bible.
I'm looking at it right now. Is that from you, JR, that shot that up there?
Yeah, thanks for the show prep, Larry.
Yeah, how about that? Casting lots. In other words, chance, right? Just chance.
Flip a coin.
Man, it's all good stuff here. It's all good stuff. Guys, we're two weeks from today. I don't know. I saw this in 1980. Have you guys seen this? In 1980, on this date in 1980, Jimmy Carter was at 47% and Ronald Reagan was at 39%. You know that? On this date in 1980, this point in the campaign, Jimmy Carter was at 47 and Ronald Reagan was at 39. And we know what happened there, right? It was a monstrous 49. Wasn't it 49 states? 48 or 49 states he swept. So here's what's going on. I believe this. They're doing everything they can to discourage you. Everything they can to try to keep you to stay home. Everything that they can. Who's they? The devil's team. Now, I'm not clear which team Trump's on, but he ain't on that devil's team. And if he is on that devil's team, we don't have a chance. We don't have a chance. And I'll say this again. Voting third party, in this election, not taking a position when we know that one of these two people is going to be president of the United States. We know it. Not voting for one of these two candidates, in my opinion, is irresponsible. Would anybody disagree with that? It's irresponsible. We won't have another presidential election for 4 years. And we think that in 4 years, we'll get us a good Christian candidate in there, and then we'll overturn all this stuff. Makes me want to growl. Okay, can I throw some stuff at you here today? Let's do this one, Jared. Boy, I got 1,000 different great things to start. Just 1,000 great things to do. Lord, show me. Okay, let's do that. Let's go to the first one there, Jared. I think this is important. Operation Save America. My dear friend, Flip Benham. Oh, no. Psalm, Jared, I'm sorry. Keep that there. Psalm 64. Let's throw the psalm in here first. Psalm 64. Yesterday we read, what was it, Psalm 55 yesterday? A lot of good psalms. I told you yesterday, psalms and proverbs. Just read some psalms and read some proverbs every day. It'll keep you on the straight and narrow. Hey, can't you see how corrupt our government is? Psst, I'm talking to you. Can't you see how corrupt our government is? Can't you see that our only hope is somebody to smash that system? Can't you see that? Can't you see that? Constitution Party ain't going to do it. Independent candidates aren't going to do it. Psalm 65, 64. Is that what I said, Jared? Mine racing here today. I need 4 hours today. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Notice he didn't say preserve me from the enemy. Preserve me from the fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Let me point out some things here. Right there, just in that sentence, there are those in secret counsel. The wicked do have secret counsel. Yes? Yes, they do have secret counsel. And they are workers of iniquity. And they are wicked. So there are secret counsel of wicked people. There were back in the time of David, and there still are today. And so, let me read this in context again. Verse 2, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword. Get a picture of that. They're using their tongue like a sword. And they bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter works. See, the Lord's kids have arrows. Scripture says, the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we have arrows and they have fiery darts. And where are they shooting them? Bitter words. For that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. Who are they shooting at? The perfect. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. Who does? This counsel of the wicked. Counsel of the wicked. Hillary and her crew. Say, well, Coach, Trump's wicked too. Yeah, but is his counsel wicked? Is he surrounded? Who has a cabal of Christian pastors and evangelists around them? Trump or Hillary? Now, I think it's a great leap for us to assume that all those guys, those Christians around Trump, all of them are sellouts. That's a stretch. That is a stretch. You know what's a stretch? Thinking any of those people around Hillary is righteous. That would be a stretch. Now that would be a stretch to think that anything righteous is around Hillary. Thinking five, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who's going to catch us? Ain't nobody going to catch us except James O'Keefe, WikiLeaks, FBI files. They're catching them. But see, they thought it was done in a secret place. They were bold in their lies. They were bold in their fiery darts. And all of a sudden, they've been caught in a snare. But we're too stupid to get it. I'm going to say that word again. Stupid. It comes from stupor. Stupor. Someone who is stupid is in a stupor. Verse 6. They search out iniquities, evil, sins. They search out. Who are we talking about? Those secret counsel of the wicked. Isn't it amazing? They're out trying to do their father's work. More hiding in our churches. More mad that Trump fondled a woman. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. Got a picture of our enemy? Okay, there's our enemy. But God, verse 7. I love it. I love it. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow, and suddenly shall they be wounded. Who's shooting? God's shooting this one. God is shooting it. And you know what? Sometimes when God goes to war, it isn't the way that we think it is. And it doesn't look like the way we think it's going to happen. I'll take you through the scriptures and show you a lot of different situations where God didn't do it to us. In my own life, God got me to where I am in a way I'd have never figured it out. He used people and circumstances I'd have never thought. He used wicked people to advance the gospel of Jesus in my life. Somebody say amen. But God shall shoot them with an arrow, suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. Do you understand what's going on with these emails, WikiLeaks, and James O'Keefe? What's happening? Their own tongues falling upon them. Their words, Donna Brazil, their own words are coming back to get them. We should be encouraged, not discouraged. This thing ain't over. Wow. I'm going to do verse 8 again. I like that one so well. So shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. The rats are going to leave the ship. And men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. Ends on a good note. Ends on a good note. You know why he's a good football coach? A lot of good reasons. I sound like I'm bragging. I always scored a lot of points. Our teams always scored a lot of points. Do you know why? Element of surprise. The key to being successful as a football coach is to run when they think you're passing and pass when they think you're running. It's the easiest thing to do. And God's a great offensive coordinator. But those of us sitting in the stands, we want to veto his play. We don't like that play. We want the other quarterback in. We want the other guy running it. There's your scripture for the morning. What do you think about that, guys? Anybody? Steve, a thumbs up. Michael, did you raise your hand? I'm sorry, bud. Just trying to get everybody in here.
Coach.
Yes.
The talking about earlier was Luke 9:49-50.
Luke 9:49-50.
Yeah, the one who says who's not against me is for me.
Bring that up there, Jared. Luke 9:49-50. I got 7 hours stuff to give you here. Luke 9:49-50. Is that where it is? Okay. Verse 48. And said he unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Ooh, Lord. And John answered and said, Master, We saw one casting out devils in your name. And we told him, stop that. Because he wasn't one of us. Republican Party says, we see a guy running for president. He's not one of us. Somebody make him stop. And Jesus said unto him, no, don't stop him. For he that is not against us is for us. So is Trump for us or against us? You say, well, I don't know. Hillary for us or against us? Well, that I know. That I know.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I want to shed a little light on that scripture.
Right.
Because there's another place in the gospel. It's Jesus says, if you're not against us, you're for us.
Right. That's a different take on it.
In another place, it says, if you're not for us, you're against us. And some people like to pick and choose which of those two statements he made as to what their spin on a certain situation is. But those two statements are identical because they both convey the truth that there are Jesus's camp and not Jesus's camp. Both statements say the same thing.
Amen. And all he's concerned with is advancing the kingdom. That's all the Lord wants to do. He wants us to advance the kingdom. That's what we're supposed to do. Say, can you advance it with a guy that's not in the kingdom? He just told you. He just said it. He just told us. He said, you can help my team even if you ain't fully on the team. At least that's the way I read it. Okay, let's pull this up over here. I'm not going to this is from Flip Benham, Operation Save America. Those of you who are listening, I'm sorry that you can't see it. I'm going to try to read it down for you. Jared, if you get it up there. I'm sorry. Pull that one up there, Operation Save America. This is from Flip Benham. This is a little track that he handed out. Let's go down the bottom. I think it starts at the bottom, Jared. Many have asked, does God still judge America? Well, here's what it says. They've asked if we've gone too far to avoid God's terrible and final judgment. Let's face it, we've mercilessly killed 50 million little baby boys and girls. We've thrown God out of the school, banished him from the schoolyard, ripped his Ten Commandments from our walls. We've called what is evil good and what is good evil, and we do not even know how to blush. We've shaken our fist at the Almighty God's face, expecting the offended deity to bless us. In the midst of dismissing him, Billy Graham said, if God does not judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God's already judged America. And is presently judging her now, desiring that we would return to him. He has given us warning after warning through prophetic utterance, signs, and judgments. God's heart for America is most perfectly expressed in his words to the church of Laodicea, Revelation 3, verse 19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he will eat with me. So here are 34, although we may not have time to do them all. These are 34 judgments on America already. This was written, probably 8-10 years ago. Number one, Barack Obama is not our problem. He's a sign and judgment from God. Therefore, the Lord was angry with his people, and their foes ruled over them. That's Psalm 106. Two, change we can believe in is not our problem. It's a sign and judgment from God. In those days, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Number three, the foolish idea that money can fix us is not our problem. That's a sign and judgment from God. But money is the answer for everything, it says in Ecclesiastes. Verse four, if you can pull that back down, Jared. Yeah, this thing's a little bit complicated. Isn't that bad? Let's go to seven. We can see seven there. That's okay. There, he's pulling it down. Five, let's just go to five. Illegal immigration, that's not our problem. It's a sign of judgment from God. Deuteronomy 28, the alien who lives among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. Verse six, the Gulf Shore oil spills, that's not a problem. It's a sign and judgment of God. Now the coastlands will tremble. And on the day of your fall, yes, the coastlands which are by the sea will be terrified at your passing. That's Ezekiel 26. Verse seven, the exponential rise in diseases is destroying us, like AIDS, STDs, that's not our problem. That's a sign of judgment from God. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, Deuteronomy 28. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the penalty for their sin. Verse 8, that was Romans. Number 8, the overwhelming number of psychosis afflicting our nation. Is not our problem. It's a sign. It says in Deuteronomy, the Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. Verse 9, losing our kids to drugs and gangs and murder, that's not our problem. It's judgment from God. Deuteronomy and Hosea said, even if they rear children, I will bereave them of everyone. Verse 10, kids killing kids, that's not our problem. It's a sign of judgment from God. Bloodshed follows bloodshed because of the land mourns, Hosea 4. Since you did not hate bloodshed, bloodshed will pursue you, Ezekiel 35. Number 11, becoming a society of victims, that's not our problem. It's a sign of the judgment of God. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and children's teeth are set on edge, Jeremiah 31. Number 12, the fact that senseless violence is increasing in the streets, that's not our problem. It's a sign of the judgment of God. Violence has grown into a rod to punish wickedness, Ezekiel 7. Rampant crime's not our problem. It's a sign and a judgment from God. No one could go about his business safely because of his enemies. For I have turned, I can't see the rest of it there. Let's go to 16. Jared, you won't even have to move it there. Let's go to right there, 15. Abortion's not our problem. It's a sign judgment of God. But Ephraim will bring out their children to the slayer, Hosea 9. 16, in fact, my body, my rights, my choices become today's mantra. That's not our problem. It's a sign. Judges 21, in those days, Israel had no king and everybody did what he saw fit. 17, the fact that radical feminists are moving into positions of great power, that's not our problem. It's a sign of judgment. Isaiah 3, you suppress my people, women rule over them, your guides lead you astray, they turn you from their path. 18, the fact that our women are now placed in military combat units, that's not our problem. It's a sign of judgment. Nahum 3, look at the troops. They are all women. The gates of your land are open to the enemy. It's powerful, isn't it? 19, the fact that we do not have men of courage is not our problem. It's a sign of judgment. Isaiah 3, I will make boys their officials. Mere children will govern them. 20, homosexuality is not our problem. It's a sign. They exchange the truth for a lie. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Romans 1. 21, gay pride days and homosexual gender, that's not our problem. That's a sign of judgment. The look on their faces testifies against them. They prayed their sin like Sodom. They don't even hide it, Isaiah 3. 22, the fact that abortion, homosexuality, gambling, pornography are being praised, that's not a problem. Sign of judgment. God says, Proverbs 28, those who forsake the law, praise the wicked. Going up, Jared. Bad laws, that's not our problem. Sign of judgment. I don't need to go on. That's okay. You get it. You get it. And so we sit around and we say, by the way, anybody wants a copy of this, let me know. Jared, let's make sure everybody gets it because these are really good. There's 38 of them, I think, overall. We're not smart enough to understand that we're already under judgment. We're already under judgment. And because we're already under judgment, help me. Guys, we're in survival mode. We're in survival mode. Now, the judgment of God, the ultimate judgment of God, we know what that's going to look like. We do understand what that's going to look like. It ain't going to be good for anybody. But are we in a position right now where, as we've said over and over and over and over, that all these judgments are coming down on us and the Lord's giving us a chance for a reprieve? Because he's giving us a chance again. Listen, choose life or choose death. I said before you, this day, choose life or choose death. They said, well, Trump's pro-death. He wants pro-life with some exceptions. He ain't king. He isn't king. Is there anybody right here that thinks if a pro-life Congress were to send a totally, completely pro-life bill to Trump, he would veto it? Does anybody think he would veto it? How stupid are we? Will Hillary veto it? Huh? See, we're already under judgment. How do I know we're under judgment? Because we're in a stupor. We're not thinking clearly. In another age, we might say we're acting stupid. Don't be stupid. Remember that by Shania Twain? Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. You will listen. Hear me. You will never pay your bills if you give money to somebody who won't pay them. In other words, I get my cable TV bill and I want to pay it, but instead I don't really like cable TV and everything that's going to go on with it. So therefore I'm going to give my money to Disneyland, whatever. Is my bill paid? I paid my bill. And I do that next month, my bill gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah, maybe the more righteous thing, or let's not say Disneyland, maybe the more righteous thing was to give the money to my church. Maybe that would have been better. But while I'm giving money to the church, I'm not paying my own bills. And they'll lie to us and say, well, coach, you're not paying your bills because you're not tithing. If you tithe, those bills will all be paid. How's that working? Because, see, you can tithe all you want to. And if you keep overspending, your bills ain't going to be paid. You with me? So you can be as pro-life as anybody that ever came down the highway. And if you keep giving your vote to somebody who can't do anything about it, they're going to keep killing babies. Blood's not on my hands. I'm going to stop it. I'm going, as JR said, I'm going to be that bouncer. I'm going to stand in the door. I'm going to prevent it from moving forward. Okay, anybody want to jump in? We'll shift gears. Somebody give me an oh my or an amen or something like that so they don't think I'm turning into a cult leader here. That makes perfect sense to me, right? It makes perfect sense. Amen. Thank you, Dylan.
Hey, thank you, man. Coach.
Yeah, Larry, or Michael.
Isn't it the way when you choose to go down a path, isn't that where judgment is? If you choose abortion, isn't there already judgment on you because you've chosen to do something? Because when you talk to women that have regretted what they've done, they live under judgment all their life until they really receive the forgiveness of God's grace.
Yes, that's right, Michael. That's right.
They live under the consequences.
Our children are living under the consequences.
But the judgment is escapable through forgiveness.
That's very good, Larry. Say that again because that's important.
They live under the consequences. Yes. The judgment for them individually, for that individual decision, is escapable through forgiveness.
I use this illustration. Salvation, Jesus, forgiveness, grace, use whatever term you want to. It saves you from the consequence of sin. It does. But it doesn't cancel the punishment of it. Does that make sense? If I go out and I go out on my wife and I go have an affair on my wife, I can receive forgiveness of that. But how am I ever going to undo the tornado that hit my life as a result of it? You understand the difference? I can receive personal salvation, but it will not cancel what I did. So that's what we're walking in, isn't it, Larry? Our children are going to walk under the judgment that we've permitted to come upon them. Judgment is more than death. It's more than death. I want to show you this video. Hey, Jared, let's go where it says JD video. I made this video. We had it the other day. Then my buddy JD from Hagman & Hagman, he put this video. This is very powerful, I think. Hang on right now. Hey, everybody, turn this up very loud and call everybody that you know that's pro-life. Call every one of them and tell them to watch this video. And you make a decision from this video if you have to vote for only one candidate. I mean, if you're self-righteous or more holy than somebody else and you see things differently, that's one thing. But if you want to end abortion, if you want to have a chance to end abortion, choose life or death, watch this 5 minutes. Go ahead, Jaron. If you do not vote for Trump in this election, you're voting to continue the killing of the innocent.
Good morning, folks. Coach Dave coming to you here Saturday morning. Something's been pressed upon my heart to share with you today. This is a 15-week-old baby, aborted baby. Look at that. Look at the face. Look at the hands. Look at the arms. Friends, this is a one-issue election.
Well, let's pick up on another issue which divides you and the justices that whoever ends up winning this election appoints could have a dramatic effect there, and that's the issue of abortion.
Right.
Mr. Trump, you're pro-life.
Donald Trump is pro-life.
I'm going to say that again. This is a one-issue election. It's not about the economy. It's not about ISIS. It's not about gay marriage. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about whether or not we will end the slaughter of unborn children. Now, I'm reading from the scripture. It tells us in Deuteronomy verse 13, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed might live. Now, Donald Trump stood before the world the other day, and he said things I'd never heard anybody ever say about abortion.
Mr. Trump, your reaction, and particularly on this issue of late-term partial birth
abortion. Well, I think it's terrible. If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay. And Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me.
Deuteronomy 30, 19. I've called the heavens and the earth as witnesses today against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse.
He said it was ripping the baby out of the mother's womb. He said it was, we had to stop the slaughter of the children. He said it would end abortion. And then I hear my friends out there who are saying, well, I can't vote for him because he used dirty words, or he's not really a Christian, or he's a fake. Look at this, folks. This is a one-issue election.
I strongly support Roe v. Wade.
Do you want to see the court overturn? You just said you want to see the court protect the Second Amendment. Do you want to see the court overturn Roe
well,
v. Wade?
Well, if we put another two or perhaps three justices on, that's really what's going to be, that will happen. And that'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court.
Look at this, folks. This is a one-issue election.
I strongly support Roe v. Wade.
If we put another two or perhaps three justices on, that's really what's going to be, that will happen. And that'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court.
And we know that the word just said, I set life and death before you. Life and death is before us today.
I strongly support Roe v. Wade.
I am putting pro-life justices on the court.
Will the church rise up and say no to death? Or will we put Hillary Clinton, the princess of death, the queen of death, back into office?
I strongly support Roe v. Wade.
Folks, shake your eyes. This isn't about anything else. It's not about Trump's morality. It's not about Hillary Clinton. It's not about any of that. It's about life and death and 40 plus years of slaughtering unborn children.
Mr. Trump, your reaction, and particularly on this issue of late-term partial birth
abortion. Well, I think it's terrible. If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me.
But I want to ask you specifically, do you want the court, including the justices that you will name, to overturn Roe v. Wade, which includes, in fact, states, a woman's right to abortion?
Well, if that would happen, because I am pro-life, and I will be appointing pro-life judges.
The Lord said through the heavens the other night, here's your choice. Donald Trump, who said he will put pro-life justices in, or Hillary Clinton, who will kill every baby that she gets the opportunity today.
Based on what she's saying and based on where she's going and where she's been, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month on the final day. And that's not acceptable.
I set before you this day life and death. Choose life.
And honestly, nobody has business doing what I just said, doing that as late as one or two or three or 4 days prior to birth. Nobody has that.
This is the only issue that matters. Let's end abortion. Let's do it now. In Jesus' name.
I think it's terrible. If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me. You can say that that's okay, And Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me.
This is the only issue that matters. Let's end abortion. Let's do it now. In Jesus' name.
Man. Reaction.
It's powerful, Coach. It's real powerful.
We have to make this go viral, guys. We have got to get this. We've got 10 days to get this out to people. This is the issue.
I was talking with the wife last night, and I just can't. We were just talking about all the people we know who aren't supporting Trump, and she didn't get a chance to watch the third debate and see that powerful moment. And we were just, you know, when you see it like that, it's just dumbfounding the people who won't get behind them.
What do you think their excuse is? What do you think it is, JR? All of my pro-life friends, what do you think? Help me out. Somebody help me out. I'm missing something. Yeah, Steve.
I have discernment.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What, Steve?
You're up, but I'm sorry.
Okay. Coach, I can't get this out of my spirit. Ephesians 6:12, the church has miscalculated the enemy. We think we can figure out. We have the intellect to understand the enemy. The depth of evil is beyond our human mind. And we're trying to contain it and put it in a nice little box and think we have it all figured out by this scripture and that scripture. But the depth and the principalities and powers are in play. And you're seeing this evil grow. And the truth has been squandered in just thrown out to the streets. There's no truth. And we've lost that depth of understanding to say, wow, we're in a fight. And yet we're playing games. Here's life and death. You just showed us life and death. And how could anybody watch that and say it has no effect on me?
See, Steve, not only that, Trump didn't say, I'm going to end abortion. What did he say? I'm going to put judges on who will end abortion. And then he goes on later to say, then it goes to the state, which, by the way, is the way the system is supposed to work. Now, we also know this, the state can't end abortion either. The state can't legalize abortion. We understand that. But at least from a constitutional point of view, he gets it. He didn't say, I'm going to end abortion. He said, I'm going to put judges in, and the consequences will be they will end abortion. What are we missing? Steve very well said, we don't understand the depth of the evil.
And Coach, Mike, even if it does go back to the states, it's the people that have to do whatever it takes to stop abortion,
right,
by passing law or whatever, so that the state says it. You know, that's why I said the thing that happened with gay marriage, there were 32 states that said no marriage between homosexuals. And what happened? The Supreme Court took over and said everybody's got to be the same. And that's the problem we have in America. But we don't wake up to what we can do.
So, JR, Sarge, somebody help me out here. I'm going to tell you something. Since I've been in this abortion battle, JR, Sarge, has anybody seen us more set up to end abortion than we are right now?
Hey, guys, you know, you've heard of the slippery slope, and years ago when abortion first, you know, Roe versus Wade first came up, and those that said that if it was approved, Roe versus Wade was accepted, that abortion was legal, that it would create a slippery slope and babies would be killed later and later and later and later. Hang on just a second, Brian.
Okay.
And the slippery slope happened. The slippery slope happens in virtually every circumstance that comes down the road. There are a few that cry out, look what's going, you know, whether it be gun control or whatever, the slippery slope exists. And the slippery slope says that not only late term abortions are now considered legal, but the slippery slope says that post birth abortions are going to become
just around the corner. They're just around the corner. JR, help me. Somebody help me here. Where am I missing it, JR, that I'm not getting this message across to my strongly, staunchly, God-fearing, God-loving, pro-life, never-Trumpers? What am I missing, JR? I'll get you a second, Stephen. Hang on.
I think Stephen hit the nail on the head. We have an adversary that if we try in the man to argue with him or try to defeat him, it's like a 70-year-old going up against a 2-year-old, and we're the 2-year-old. We're not going to defeat him. We do God's spirit. And I think you touched on it early on, and obviously it's something that it's in my heart, is we're suffering from our lack of unity. That's why we're where we're at right now. Satan's got us divided. He's got us confused, and he's got us discouraged.
Look at this. He's got the Christian family divided.
Yeah.
The wife is not for Trump, and the husband is for Trump. There's a division right there. It used to be black and white. It used to be denominational. Now the divide is in the own house. It's in our own house.
Red
the division
and blue.
It's in our own house. It's right in our own house. Steve Denson.
Well, something it just hit me was I called you and talked to you recently. I don't know, remember, but I would sit there and say the lack of understanding the privileges and the blessings that the United States of America has been given for us younger folks. Until I came to Christ, I honestly never understood the blessings. I never understood the Constitution, understood voting and the power of voting and what power we do have as people, and not just people, but then the body of Christ and how we dictate things. And
our choices are never clear. Sometimes they're clear, but this idea that you can't pick the lesser of two evils. By the way, hey, Larry, you look at what we just looked at there. If this isn't a lesser two evils thing, this is a greater good thing, is it not? Isn't Trump's position a greater good than Hillary's? I didn't mean to step on you, Stephen. I didn't mean to step on you there, buddy. I don't know what you've done. I'm sorry. I have a habit of doing that. I'm a talk show host, man. That's why. Brian wants to get in here, Larry?
Yes.
Okay. Brian, jump in here with us, bud.
Hey, Coach. Just watching that video, it kicks me off, man, because, you know, I'm standing outside the abortion clinic down in Charleston, you know, and we're standing there, and here I am, you know, there's 70 and 80-year-old women out there, literally on their knees praying, and we got people driving by in their trucks, just driving by, cursing us out with every word you can imagine. And yet we're standing there making a stand for these unborn babies. But yet in the church, I can't even get the pastor to even say the word abortion from the pulpit. And why isn't the church taking as strong a stand against abortion as the people who are for it, the stand that they're taking? It's very upsetting, Coach.
It is, Brian. God bless you, man. I know your eyes are being opened, and I salute you. You're in for a long slog down there, brother. You just stay the course. Appreciate you being with us, Brian.
We will. Thanks, Coach.
God bless you, my friend. Hey, guys. Again, let me say this one. We're already under judgment. We just read that thing from Flip Benham. We're already under judgment. Hey, guys, listen. We're under judgment because of innocent blood. I set before you this day, life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, hear me, that both you and your children might live. This isn't talking about your child not being aborted. This is talking about your children, the future generation, being able to live. Our vote when we go into the ballot box on November 8th, it's a vote for our children. It's not a vote for me. It's not a vote for me for better jobs. It's not a vote for me for ISIS. It's a vote for the future of our children. It's a vote for the choose life that you and your children might live. Trump appears to me life. Let's move off of. Hey, does Trump want a nuclear war? No. Does Trump want to bring in head choppers, throat cutters? No. Does Trump, it's everywhere we look. The issue of life is everywhere we look in this debate, and we don't see it. How much time I got? Oh, man. I got a lot more stuff. Anybody want to jump in? Got 6 minutes left. Anybody want to phone? I didn't even give the number. 943-957-8180. Hey, hang on, Dylan. 843-957-8180. Go ahead, Dylan.
Just going back to what you were saying about the staunch never Trumpers who are extremely pro-life. I mean, with all due respect to them and your judgment on them, I think one thing that struck out to me this election is, that old saying, when someone shows you who they really are, believe them. And I think a lot of these people, whether it's in regards to abortion or patriotism or an understanding of the culture war, they've shown their true colors. They don't understand it or they don't care about it. Maybe it's just something they talked about before because they like the attention, but it's clearly not an actual issue they want to fight for. So
I would say this, Dylan, that's a very good point. I would say this, Dylan, I know many of these guys. These are my friends. And they're seeing it. I don't question what they're seeing in their heart. I don't question that at all. I question what they're seeing. And Chad just texted us here. How about this? Maybe Hillary Clinton has cast a spell of deception over some. Hey, JR, I'll try to get to this tomorrow. Your interview with Larry Nichols, he says she's literally a witch. Literally a witch. And do we believe in demonic influences? Do we believe in curses? Do we believe in spells? Or is the judgment of God this stupor that we're walking around in? We have to begin to see the larger picture for sure. Anybody want to jump in?
Yeah, Coach. What's been brought forth and brought out today is a perfect explanation, example, or whatever you want to call it, of how Scripture fits in itself and supports Scripture. You know, you have the Scripture that says, love your enemy. You also have the Scripture where Jesus defines your foes or your enemies as those in your own household.
Amen.
Those brothers and sisters in Christ who are true brothers and sisters in Christ, and for some reason on some subjects, have differences of opinion, they in some instances start considering themselves our enemies. Yes, those are the ones that we're commanded to love because they're still our brothers. They're still part of the true body of Christ, and we're commanded to love them.
Amen, Larry. And I've tried
when
to
we do that. When we do that, eventually, It'll be like heaping coals on their heads, and eventually they'll come to the truth. Now, if we're the ones that are wrong, eventually those coals will start to get through our thick skulls, and we'll come around.
See, I don't think it's right or wrong. I don't think my friends are wrong. You understand? I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I'm saying you're not seeing the big picture. You're not seeing something here. I would never say your conscience is wrong. I would never say that to them. I'm saying you got some bad information or you're not seeing the big picture, whatever it is. I would say this, you're not seeing what I see. Now, maybe I'm not seeing what you see, but we're not seeing the same thing here. We're not seeing the same thing. And they don't want to be my enemies, and I'm not their enemies. But how do you go back into fellowship and lock arms with guys who you feel had vicious things said about me? If they would sell me out that quickly, what do you think? Huh? Do I say, oh, that's cool. We're all good friends. When they turn so quickly against me. Yes, sir.
They were never your friends in the first place. They just gave you the facade of it.
Yeah. I don't want to believe that, though, Kevin. I know these guys. I know some of these guys. And they would say their fealty is to the Lord, not to me. And I would understand that. Go ahead. Is that George or Michael, whoever it was?
Coach, are they saying we should go by opinion or by the truth? See, everybody can have an opinion about what the truth is, but does anybody really just stand with the truth and let it penetrate our spirit so that we say what the truth says and not just what my opinion is about the truth?
Amen. I'm with you, Michael. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. This video that we just played, George, I'll let you get in here in just a second. This video that I just played, we just played here, it's on our website, CoachDaveLive.com. Please do me a favor. Forward that video to everybody. Put it on your Facebook page. Send it in an email. Shoot it out to everybody because you've got Hillary and Donald. It can't be any more clear right there what they're saying right in front of us. And we have to get this in front of people to move their heart to what really matters. Georgie, did you want to say something, bud?
Hey, Coach, hey, let's just call a spade. After showing that video and someone says they're a Christian, I don't know how you can stay on there's only one side of the fence to be on, wouldn't you say?
I that's what I think too, brother. Because, hey, George, there's nobody more pro-life than me. Nobody more pro-life than me. And I see this as a great opportunity from a political standpoint to end abortion. We know that it's church's job to end abortion. Well, what if right now the Lord said, I've given you this clumsy guy, church, and you get him in place and he'll end abortion. He'll elect the right guy. Come on, church. Here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity. He said he's going to end it. Hold his feet to the fire. Get after your legislators. Get after the congressmen. Make them pass an anti-abortion bill. He'll sign it. And you know why? The only reason Donald Trump will not be president is Christians. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.